Back in February, that song was written all the way back in 1921. It's a song 100 years old, and yet it's still as true today as it was way back then. Amen. Amen. Let's get our Bibles and let's get in the Word of God here for just a little while. And I want to be looking in the book of Haggai this evening, if the Lord will be our helper. And try to encourage us and look at this thought and break this passage of Scripture down before us and feed it to our hearts and our souls, our spiritual lives. I sure am thankful for the Word of God. It's been a comfort to me a lot of days. It's been what I've need to reprove and challenge and correct my life, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for God's Word. I love to read it, love to hear it preached. And so thankful for the ministry of the Word of God in these days. You go all through the Scripture and talk about what different saints of God have declared in the Word of God for the Word of God to be to them. And some described it as meat and milk, and some said it was sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And so many things are magnified about the Word of God, and I'm thankful I'm a learning after these 25 years that what they said about the Word of God is indeed the case and is so. And so we want to try to preach it again tonight, if the Lord will be our helper. Haggai chapter number 2. Let's stand together and we'll honor the reading of the Word of God again. Give reverence to it if you're able. Verse number 10, Haggai chapter 2, verse 10. In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. The Bible said in verse 13, then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands. And that which they offered there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat, for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, is yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth? From this day will I bless you. And we'll leave off our reading there. We'll pick up on this thought that we preached a couple weekends ago. You pray for us as we call on the name of the Lord. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight again in the name of the Lord Jesus, we do come with gratitude and thanksgiving in our heart. Lord, we acknowledge tonight, as we already have in prayer, Lord, throughout the afternoon and in the prayer room a little while ago, Lord, there's no merit in and of ourselves that, Lord, would deserve to gain an audience with God. And yet, Lord, you've invited us to come and to come boldly before the throne of grace. And so we come boldly in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Help us, dear Lord, is our desire and our prayer to you as we preach the Word of God and the truths you revealed to us, Lord, some weeks ago. I pray tonight that, Lord, these things would be spoken clearly and, Lord, with conviction and power. And, Lord, would you do a work in our lives that would last for time and eternity. Lord, we know tonight and confess without you we're nothing. And without you we can do nothing. We need your help tonight. Lord, need your help to preach. Need your help to get a hold of truth. And, Lord, we need your help, Lord, to straighten up and live right. Lord, in an ungodly world. And so I pray this evening that you would speak to hearts and grow our church in our faith and in our walk with you and all that you do. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. Real quickly now, we understand this message of Haggai consists of two small, simple chapters. And yet the message that Haggai preaches is very relevant to the people of God, especially in his day. I would argue in some ways, amen, even in the days in which you and I live, there's much encouragement and challenge to receive from this that was spoken to God's people many, many years ago. And we understand in the context of this message, Haggai is ministering and preaching and prophesying in a day in which the children of God had returned out of Babylonian captivity for the purpose of rebuilding the house of God. And when they get back, I mean on their way back, they're singing, they're excited. When they get back to Jerusalem, Sam, they find that the house of God is in utter shambles and is in ruin, and there is rubbish on every hand. They immediately began to work, but it's not long until they began to be discouraged at the size of the task and the labor that is at hand. And men slowly began to drift away from the work of God. And in doing so, they began to work on their own houses and their own dwellings. This is where God raises up Haggai to call upon him to preach to the people that they would consider their ways in the work of the ministry of the house of God. He tells them it's not right that you dwell in your own sealed houses, that you have places to dwell in, but the house of God remains desolate. In chapter number 1, the people respond to that message by engaging themselves in the work of God. There is a reviving of their excitement, a revival of the labor of the house of God. Men began to get their joy back and to put their hands again into the work of God. And so they're laboring and they're working. They're seeing a little bit of progress. And all seems to be well and headed in the right direction. It's not mentioned, but if there was to be part of the context set between chapter 1 and chapter number 2, you'd find that discouragement begins to settle in again upon the people of God. In chapter number 2, Haggai is raised up by the Lord again to speak to them. And the message this time concerns that there are certain elements within the Word that are discouraging the people of God. They began to say this is not what it used to be, and this doesn't have the glory on it that it used to have. And they began to look around and began to deal with that the task at hand seemed like that it was not going to be what they maybe thought it should be, or that they recalled somehow in their memory of it being in the past. And so God, through Haggai, says, listen, don't be comparing where you're at now to what took place years ago. I see what I'm going to do. I see what you're going to become. I see the glory that I'm going to put upon this place. Said, and it may look small and insignificant now, in the eyes of the world and those that are around you and even among those that are ministering alongside of you. But the Lord said, what I really want you to know, as small as it may seem and as great as the task may feel, that I am with you and I'm going to put more glory on your work of your hand than they ever dreamed about having in the former days. And so no doubt a prophecy of end times in what God is going to do in days to come in the land of Israel, and in particular the holy city of Jerusalem, even in the millennial kingdom when Christ himself rules and reigns from, amen, that wondrous scene. And so they began to be encouraged and they began to work in this word of exhortation as is given. We come to our text verses quickly. We understand that the Lord has Haggai began to address now not only their work, the people are now working and they're encouraged in what God has told them. And now the Lord is not only concerned with their work, but he's going to give them a message about their walk with God. And so it's right that we would labor and that we would serve in the work of God. But the Lord reminds us through this message of this dear man of God, Haggai, that God is as much interested in our walk and in how we live and in our relationship to the Lord. And so He's going to do this through the two questions we pointed out in verse number 12 and then verse number 13. Quickly, we'll recall and remember tonight. And question number one is a question about sanctity. Amen. Sanctity is dealing with the holy meat and the sacrifice that had been offered in the house of God upon the brazen altar. It had been brought there. It had been slain. It had been sacrificed. And the blood had been offered and the meat had been portioned upon that altar in the fire. And there, my friend, there that meat and that sacrifice, that animal, whatever it would be, amen, was considered to be holy flesh. It was considered to have taken on the nature of God itself and is characterized by God Himself as being holy unto the Lord. And so the question is, if that holy meat is taken off of the altar and some way, somehow it were to touch the bread or the wine or the pottage or some other meat along the way, when those things... when those things take on the holiness and the sanctity of that sacrifice, be transferred to other items. And so the priest said, no, that matter of sanctity and holiness is not transferable by some sort of touch. And so we find the question here concerns sanctity. The second question deals with and is concerned with sin. He turns the question around and says, if one that is unclean by a dead body was to touch the bread or the wine or the pottage or some meat, do those things become unclean? And the priest said, that is absolutely right. It shall be unclean. And what they were saying is, under the Levitical law, that, my friend, there were laws for cleansing and cleanliness and defilement and how to get something back to a pure state. And so if anything unclean were to touch something that seemed to be maybe even neutral, Lord, amen, active around the house of God, that those things become unclean. And we boiled these questions down and discussing and preaching the purpose behind these questions. Amen. What is the reason? It is to teach the people that sanctity is not transferable, but sin in many cases is. And he is dealing with the matter that you will not be sanctified just because you're around the work of God. And yet they were working, and no doubt working with defiled hands, because they had been touched somewhere along the way by some uncleanness. And so today we would understand, amen, that these two questions remind you and I, amen, how prone we are to fall into sin. How prone we are to be defiled or made unclean along the way. I would remind you and I tonight that we're living in an ungodly world. Amen. You're living in a culture and in a society. And my friend, it is amazing that it seems like with every passing week, there are new inventions and new, if you will, sins. And I know there's no new sin, but, amen, ways to get involved in sin are created. Amen. It seems like every passing week, and we're in those days, I believe that Jesus prophesied, amen, that would come when the Lord Jesus got ready to come again. Amen. Those days, as it were, in the days of Noah, and those days, as it were, amen, in the days of Lot, have now arrived to our generation. And men in the imagination of their heart do only think continually upon sin and upon evil. And tonight, as we're gathered here as the people of God, saved it, and understanding that heaven is our home, amen, we are still in this world. Thank God we're not of it. Amen, we've been delivered from being of it, but we are still in it. And it is so important that We use the wisdom of the Word of God, and that after we allow the Word of God to set the parameters of our life, amen, to lead you and I in a way that is called holiness. Amen, you don't even have to try, my friend, to wind up, amen, headed in a wrong direction. Amen, there are so many uncleannesses in our day. Amen, and God help us to be aware, and God help us tonight, amen, to be sober and to be vigilant with our spiritual lives. Amen, lest we wind up unclean by, amen, some filth of the flesh and of the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so we ask the question concerning sanctity and sin. And these questions, what made the holy flesh holy? And the answer is simply this, and beyond being set apart and sacrificed to God, its holiness had been formed upon the altar there as it spent time in the fire of the presence of God. And so many today, I think, leave this out of their spiritual lives. And if we're going to be holy tonight, amen, if we're going to be holy in these days in which we live, amen, we must understand this first question is teaching you and me that it takes time with God to be holy. Amen, it takes effort. It takes climbing up on the altar. Amen, you have to spend time and make time and spend time. Amen, and put forth sacrifice of time and of labor and of effort. Amen, to live your life on a spiritual altar in the presence of God. Amen, that is the only way that you and I, amen, we'll experience holiness in these days. Amen, holiness ain't something you wear on your lapel. Amen, it ain't found on a bracelet. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Amen, you won't be holy cause my friend you. Amen, you're determined to live by a set of standards and rules and guidelines, as good as those things may be. Amen, that is not the mark of true holiness in these days. Amen, you remember we said holiness does not come by accident. It does not come by association. And holiness does not come by activity. Amen. Holiness comes by spending time with the Lord. Have you spent any time with the Lord this last week? Have you spent any time in the fire of His presence? Have you spent any time in the presence of the God that the Bible said is a consuming fire, Him purifying your life, Him purifying your mind and your thoughts and the direction and the path that your life is on. Amen. There's only one way that you and I can become in this place of being holy. And that's what God wants them to be. That's what God is telling them through Haggai that He wants them to be. He doesn't want an unclean people. He doesn't want a people that their minds are steeped in the unclean philosophies and traditions of the world. And rather, He wants a people whose hearts and minds, whose eyes and ears and hands and feet, and lives and bodies have, my friend, been purified and made holy flesh. Amen, by spending time in God's presence. Amen, you see, in these days, there's some preachers. Amen, they'll try to beat it into your life. Amen, but can I tell you, there ain't a preacher this side of eternity. Amen, they can preach hard enough or long enough or loud enough, amen, to beat holiness into your life. Amen, somewhere along the way, amen, you've got to spend time with God. Amen, you've got to be in the secret place. Amen, we've got to live our lives in His presence. Amen, do you understand you become who you hang around with? Amen. Whoever you spend time with is who you're going to become. Amen. That's why we try to guard our associations in this life. Amen. Our attachments to things in this world. Amen. And so if we'll spend more time with God, what? Amen. What is the spiritual progression that, amen, should flow from that? It ought to be, amen, that we become holy in this life. Unholy Christians are a testimony they've not been spending time with the Holy God. Amen. Amen. Some depend upon their preacher. Amen. For their measure of holiness, and it'll never work. Amen. We're preaching the thought taken from the song of 1882. By William Longstaff when he wrote that wondrous hymn, "Take Time to Be Holy." I think that's what the Lord is saying through Haggai. In this text, we ought to take time to be holy. And with that thought in mind, quickly, we already looked at the contamination of the people in verse number 14. I believe the question found in verse 13 reveals that though it takes time with God to be holy, had been contaminated by sin seems to take place rather easily. Amen. It takes time to be holy, but ain't it amazing in our lives how quickly, amen, we can feel our heart prone to wander from God. Amen. Well, only three of us in here know about that. Rest of you got it nailed down. Amen. But it seems like it's so easy for you and I, amen, to begin to drift away. And you know that's right tonight. Amen. To get cold on God, to feel the fire fizzle out. And we'll blame it on a lot of things. And we'll point fingers at, amen, maybe at others or things we're going through. But, amen, the fire burns in the hearts of those that, amen, will take time to be holy. And we looked at the contamination of sin in their life that God deals with in this text, and so true it is of you and I. And simply put, the deterrent to sin in our life is to spend time with God. These people had not done that. Amen. Though they were still in the house of God, oh, their hands were there, though their attendance was checked, and though they had shown up and they had sung the songs, and they, my friend, had gone through the motions, God says that in spite of all that they were doing, this people had been contaminated by sin. And it contaminated the validity of their testimony, the virtue of their labor, and the value of their worship. And that's what sin's doing today. Amen. It's robbing us of the power of a testimony and a labor and a worship. Amen. That we ought to be living in and we ought to be functioning in. Amen. The contamination of sin in the people. Now, number two, this is new ground tonight. Amen. Verses 15 through 18. Amen. Consider with me tonight the consideration for the people. When we look at these verses, the word consider is used throughout Haggai in these four verses. And the word consider is used three times. And so that's the point of emphasis. That is the message of these verses. Amen. That in all your work and labor, amen, there are some things for you to consider. The word consider tonight, as is used here, means this. Amen. Well, it doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean a casual, carnal, amen, just passing by examination. The word consider means this. It means to put to heart. Amen. It means to put to heart. And so Haggai is saying, amen, you need to consider. You need to get heartfelt honest about where you are with God. Amen. It's not that your neighbor or that your brother or your sister or your sons or daughters or parents or spouse, amen, thinks you're all right. Amen. Get hard honest with God and consider where you are with Him. The word consider means to ponder on with the mind or inner man. And there's not a lot of that that takes place in this day. I'm convinced anyway, amen, of pondering, of sitting down and spiritually pondering about where we are, the direction of our life, amen, and how we need to make some, amen, some changes in our life, amen, through spending time with God to be holy, amen, and so pondering on with the mind, amen, think about these things, consider these things, and go beyond the temporal realm. I believe this with all my heart when we come to the New Testament. And this is what Paul had in mind in Colossians chapter number 3. And in verse number 1, when he sent the New Testament believer, amen, if we then be risen with Christ, he said, set your affection on things that are above and not on things that are below. Amen. And so there is to be in this matter of our mindset and our pondering it and our consideration that our affections would, amen, be of a spiritual nature. Amen. The consideration for the people. Amen. Consider some things tonight about this consideration. I see in verse number 15 that they are to consider the request that has been extended. Amen. In verse number 15, notice, and now I pray you. Amen. The I that is praying them to consider is none other than God's man Haggai. You'll find that in verse number 15, verse number 14. And it is Haggai, the man of God in God's stead. Amen. That is there pleading with them and extending to them this request to consider. Amen. Can I say in their day, thank God, that there was a preacher that is being used by God to challenge the people in this matter. And I understand we all have a personal walk with God. Y'all know. Amen. I am big on the priesthood of the believer. Amen. I am big tonight on individual responsibility. Amen. Listen, we tonight, amen, can have a personal relationship with the Lord. And God's plan in the Old Testament was to use prophets. And God's plan in the New Testament is to use evangelists and pastors and teachers. Amen. To stand before us and show us the right way. Amen. To shine the light on what God is dealing with in our heart. Amen. And I thank God tonight for every man of God that's ever stood before me and challenged me to step it up and spend time with God and to take time to be holy. Amen. They listen in many dispensations of time. Amen. People and even God's people have not appreciated that. Amen. But you consider tonight. Amen. Would you consider tonight where your life would be? Amen. If you didn't have some leather lung, amen, backbone of steel man of God that, amen, wasn't afraid to stand and preach and shine the light. Amen. On holiness, and against our sin, and against the things that are going on in our society. And so Haggai stands there between the gap. Amen. He stands there in the stead of God. Amen. Requesting and extending a request. Amen. That they would consider. Amen. Could I be that to you tonight? Amen. Could I be that to you tonight? Would you consider where you are? Amen. Would you quit blaming everybody else for your spiritual state and consider personally? I pray you tonight. Amen. Consider from this day and upward. Amen. Consider where you're at and consider where you're going to be and consider the direction you're on. Amen. Is it going to end well? Is it leading you to holiness? Is in leading you to a godly life, is in leading you to be able to serve God with a joyful, fervent heart, amen, or is in leading you, my friend, down a path, amen, that is going to lead you to uncleanness. And so in this consideration for the people, there is the fact they should consider the request that has been extended. Amen. Consider tonight. Amen. In this consideration, the reduction that has been experienced. In verse number 16, here's what the Lord says through His man. He says, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. And he's dealing now with the harvest time. They're going into the field, Brother Bob. And they're going to gather in their grain. And they're going to beat the chaff. And they, my friend, are harvesting their crops. And when all is said and done, they planted enough. Amen. That on paper, they should have received 20 measures. That God said, when all was said and done, you beat all the grain out. And you had exactly half of what you should have had. And it all comes back according to what God says. Amen. Concerning this matter of sanctity and sin in their life. He said, now you went and you gathered the fruit at, and you got the fruit there, the vine and off the trees, and you gathered it in the press fan and you began to press it out and you began to beat it down, and you was expecting, amen, to draw out 50 vessels. Amen. 50 vessels out of the press. He said, but there were but 20. If you do the math tonight, I'm not real good at math. Amen. But I believe that is a reduction of 60%. And so God said, you got 50% of what you should have got out of the field. You had 40%, amen, of what you should have had out of the vine. Amen. What is God saying? He's saying, consider this. Amen. Consider that even though you're in the work of God, that you've not taken time to be holy. You've not kept a short account with God. And now you become contaminated. And you need to consider that. That sin has brought about a reduction that has been experienced in your life. Amen. I wonder tonight what we're missing out on. Amen. By not taking time to be holy. Amen. By not learning how, amen, to spend that time in the presence of God. I wonder what our lives would have tonight. Amen. You say, oh, you're preaching a works-based blessing system. Amen. I'll just remind you tonight, on your best day, amen, and on my best day, we don't deserve anything from God. Amen. We ought to get 0%. Somebody say amen. Amen. On your most holy day, God don't owe you nothing. Amen. But there is something about those that are live for God, and God extends a special measure of grace, and we don't deserve it, and yet He multiplies the blessings in our life. And I'm getting way ahead of myself to the end of the message now. Amen. But the thought here is simply this, Brother Joe. Amen. What are we missing out? Amen. What is our families missing out on? What is the church missing out on tonight? Because we've not taken time to be holy. There is always a reduction that takes place in our life. We begin to sin. We're not taking time to be holy. There are wages, there are things. And God even said in verse 17, amen, that He was the one behind that. He was smiting them with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands. And so He's calling upon them to consider the request that has been extended and the reduction that has been experienced. Amen. He calls upon them to consider the rejection that has been expressed. Amen. The sad thought of all of this and where they had got to. Amen. Haggai wasn't the first man of God to try to help them. Amen. They had rejected many a man of God like Jeremiah and others and got them in Babylonian captivity to begin with. Amen. And now here's God raising up another voice by His grace. Amen. And now God brings him back. Amen. To what got them in trouble in the first place. Amen. Notice what the Lord said in the end of verse 17. Yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord. Began to have less and less blessings from God. God's hand was working against you to some degree and measure. And all of that chastening, it was designed to cause you to turn back to God. Yet you would not turn back to me, said the Lord. He's telling them, consider the rejection that has been expressed. Amen. They to this point had determined not to turn back to God. They have to this point been satisfied. Amen. With the 50 and the 40% blessing. God is saying if you'll ever get to the place, amen, where you're not satisfied living on the menial and living in a small portion of what could be yours. Amen. If you'll ever reach the end of your rope, amen, God said if you'll ever quit, amen, rejecting me and you would turn back to me, amen, consider what has got you in the place that you're in now. I say tonight, He calls on them to consider the repentance that is expected. In verse number 18, we find the word consider is used twice. Amen. He said, consider now. Don't wait another day. And don't wait another week. And don't wait for another message. And don't wait for things to kind of ease out in your leg. Amen. God said, consider now. Amen. Consider it now. Consider now. Amen. While the message is hot. And while the message is fresh. And while God has a man that is willing to preach to you. Amen. Consider it now from this day and upward. Amen. Consider it now and consider it tomorrow. Amen. Consider it in this service and again in the next. Amen. Give consideration. Amen. Now, what is God calling upon them to do? Amen. I believe they are to consider the repentance that is expected. Amen. He said, consider now in the opening of this verse. And this verse ends with, consider it. Amen. Consider now. Consider it. Consider now. Consider it. What he is saying is, if you will turn, I will acknowledge that. I am expecting. Amen. That God is saying, I am expecting. Amen. That you would turn back to God again. Amen. God expects you and I to repent. Amen. I heard Brother Joe say years and years ago, amen, when I guess back maybe one of the first messages or two I ever heard Brother Joe Bryant preach, is preaching on repentance. And he said something to the effect that if you've ever repented in the matter of salvation, amen, you'll still be repenting all the days of your Christian life. Repentance ain't a one-time thing. I thank God, and when it comes to salvation, we repent of our sin and expressing that godly sorrow, turn to God, and we're saved. But from that day forward and that day upward of our Christian life, there are times we must consider. Amen. I'm not talking about living a lascivious life of, amen, fornication and adultery and drunkenness. Amen. The Bible's pretty clear that crowd ain't going to inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. But I'm talking about those things that get in our heart and those thoughts that get in our mind and our path begins, my friend, to drift away from God. And how many times, amen, do we have to come and fall on our face and say, God, I'm sorry. I've allowed life to bog me down. I've allowed things to distract me from taking time to be holy. And God expects in those times that we would give consideration now and consider it that God demands repentance in our life. Amen. Repentance. Repentance in the heart of the life, in life of the child of God, is absolutely essential. We're going to take time to be holy. The contamination, the consideration, the confirmation. 2 minutes and I'm done. The confirmation on the people in verse number 19. I love this. The Lord is speaking. Would y'all agree that verses 14 through 18, they're pretty heavy. God is putting His finger upon their life and their uncleanness. God is saying you're missing out on so much more that you could have if you just take time to be holy. I'm glad God didn't just leave them hanging there. The Lord asked them a third question to end this message. He said, is the seed yet in the barn? Amen. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth In other words, he's saying that in your condition, you've nearly reached the place where you've given up altogether sowing in the field. You're leaving the seed in the barn and you have gotten discouraged to the point you don't even know if you want to go on. But the Lord is saying, amen, the answer to all of that is to get back, amen, in your walk with God and take time to be holy. And what God is going to give them is a confirmation upon their life. Amen. He said, is the seed yet in the barn? Amen. Really what that question is implying, Brother Tim, is saying it's time to get the seed out of the barn. Amen. It's time to go out and to plow the field again. It's time to get involved in, amen, now this matter of sowing the seed in your life. Amen. And what did God say? God said, from this day will I bless you. Amen. Now that is not an unconditional promise. That promise is made in light. And they are going to consider, they are going to repent, they are going to listen to the man of God. They, amen, are going to consider what they've been missing out of. They are going to consider their own failure in days gone past. And that in their turning to God and seeking God and taking time in the presence of God to be holy again, God said, I will bless thee. So long as they're unclean and around dead things, corruption is what they can expect. And can I say tonight that here in this single verse, the Lord confirms His promise. And if they will start taking time with God to be holy, He will bless their lives today. Amen. I'm not talking about now with Israel. It was, amen, to a great degree, it was physical blessing and crops reaped and the fruit of the vine being experienced and all of that. Amen. But for you and I in this dispensation of time, amen, we're not necessarily talking about bigger bank accounts and newer cars and shinier toys and my friend, things of that nature. Amen. But what about them riches that we heard about this morning? Amen. What about those treasures that are hid in Christ? Amen. Them durable riches in righteousness that are found in Christ and Christ alone. Amen. And you're kidding yourself tonight if you think that you can be carnally minded and you can live an unclean life and still experience those blessings. Amen. You've lost your spiritual marbles tonight. Amen. God said, I want to bless you beyond, amen, what you could ever imagine. Amen. Wouldn't it be something tonight, amen, if there was a growth and a multiplication, amen, in our joy and in our peace and in our victory, in our spiritual strength, in our knowledge and wisdom of the Lord Jesus and His Word. Amen. Wouldn't it be amazing tonight, amen, if the spiritual blessings of Almighty God, amen, somehow could grow in our life tonight. And I tell you, there is a way. God confirms it. Take time to be holy. Amen. Take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. If we'll take time with God, we can plow the field and plant the seed and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our God will bless us. Let me ask you a question tonight, and this just relates to the generation in which we live. We're living in tough days. We're living in evil days. We're living in days that, to be quite honest, just make us weary and wore out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've talked with four preachers yesterday, and all four of them's on the cliff about ready to jump. Church people's in the same boat, and there's a spirit of, what are we going to do? And we're looking at all the things that are of a temporal realm around us. I tell you tonight, God confirms spiritual blessings to those somehow, some way will remove their eyes off the distractions and take time to be holy. Here's the question I asked in the men's meeting that God gave me this message for initially. Here's what I asked the men. How much worse are things going to have to get before we practice this? How much worse are things going to have to get in our nation and our generation before we practice this? How much worse is it going to have to get in our homes and our families before we say, God said He would bless, that I could expect blessings and expect His hand upon me, but it comes at the price of taking time to be holy. How much worse has it got to get in many churches across the land before we wake up and say, God's give us the answer. Take time to be holy. When our walk is right, then God empowers the work. The blessings of God begin to flow. Is that right? I believe that's right. Sister Candy, you come on if you will. Let's all stand together. Church, take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. God, help us to get a hold of it.